I'll do what you say, because the only path to blessing is obedience. Amen? Amen. So, my qualifications to be a pastor are, I own sheep, so I can understand Psalm 23. I own chickens, so I can understand Psalm 91. I own horses, so I can understand the book of Proverbs. You know, I own goats, so I can understand the book of Revelation. Amen? Sheep go on the left. I'm sorry, the sheep go on the right. The goats go on the left. And I mean, but more than that, I love the Word of God. Because let me tell you something about the Word. The intake of sound Bible doctrine is the most important thing in a believer's life. It's more important than the food you eat. It's more important than the air you breathe. It says, how will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. It says in the book of Joshua that if we meditate on the word, if we keep it in our mouth and we keep it in our heart, then we'll be prosperous and we'll have good success. And I don't know about you, but I want that. Okay? And that's another thing about this church. There's different ways of teaching. You know, there is, I love the Hebrew. Okay, I like to really dig into Hebrew words. Because when God originally talked with Adam, when God talked with Moses, he was speaking in Hebrew. And when Moses recorded this stuff, when David wrote the Psalms, he was writing in Hebrew. And anytime you go from one language to another, there's something in between you and the original. One, there's different cultural things that you don't get. You know, you've heard the expression lost in the translation. And also, there's a translator between you and what was originally written. And we here preach out of the King James. I believe it is the best English version that we have. You know, it's as good as you're going to get in English. We also like the Amplified. Those are probably the two best, the closest translations to the original wording that you're going to find. But it's so much deeper when you can get into the actual language and understand. Because, I mean, that is what we're going to be speaking when we all get to heaven. I mean, it's the... it says in the Old Testament that I will restore to the people a pure tongue. And I believe that's talking about Hebrew. There's three words in the Hebrew for teach. One of them is yara, and it literally means to throw the finger. Not like somebody threw you the finger on the freeway on the way home. Can I say that if I'm a pastor? You have to, you know, this is my first time pastoring, so if I say things, you know, I see my wife covering her eyes in the back. But it is, what do you do when you throw a finger? You point. And literally, the word yara, which is the word we get, has anybody ever heard of the Torah, the law? That's where that word comes from. It is pointing the way. It is teaching. There's another word, the word lamed, and that is more of a goading. That is literally taking a stick and poking something with it and making it go the way it needs to go. Okay? Hope it doesn't come to that, but if we have to, we'll do what we have to do. The last word is yalach. And really, this is more to lead than it is to teach. And this is really, I believe, the biblical New Testament way to teach. And what that is it has a sense, it comes from the word to walk. And it's to walk among and lead. And not in the sense of, I'm the boss and you have to listen to me, but in the sense of, I'm called to help you. I'm called to get down in the dirt and get you to where you need to go. You know, I am called to do it myself first Because, I mean, how can I teach, you know, how can I teach you how to be a good husband if I don't love my wife? How can I teach you to be successful in business if I'm not successful in business? How can I, you know, how can I teach you how to love God and how to worship God if I don't, how can I lead you into the presence of God if I don't know how to get there myself? So the number one thing about everything that you will hear out of this pulpit is there will be no untested doctrine. Everything you hear is not something we read in a book. It's something that we've used in our lives. And it's something we've got working in our lives. Now, we're not perfect. We're just like, you know, we're just like everybody else. We're a work in progress. But it's important to lead from within, to lead from walking it out in front of you. Amen. So that's what you're going to get here. And what I'd like to go over tonight is I want to talk about Psalm 1, the first couple verses of Psalm 1. It's a really, really, it is, you know, it's the beginning of the book of Psalms. It's just one of the coolest Psalms. It's literally kind of like the introduction to the entire book of Psalms. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at some Hebrew words, but we're also going to talk about some real basic things you can do. Because when this is all over tonight, I don't want you to say, you know, that Pastor Rich is a cool dude, but, you know, I don't remember a thing he said. I want to give you something that you can take home, that you can put in your life, and that'll change your life. And the only thing that's going to change your life is the written word of God. But I'm not a real deep person. I'm just the basics. So you'll have to bear with me if what I teach tonight is really basic. But I'll guarantee you it works. And that if you get a hold of it, it will change your life. Amen? Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read a little bit of it in the Hebrew first, just because I think probably deep down inside y'all understand it that way. Asheri ha'ish asher lo halach ba'aitz rasha. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I want to pick this apart because this is some good stuff. The very, very first word. This is one of the coolest words in the whole Bible. Probably the King James has it as blessed is the man. How many people here would like to be blessed? Okay? It's what this church is about. Making sure that you can get blessed. Okay? Not in a, you know, how much stuff can I get type, but that you would live a happy life. Now, there's a couple different words for blessed in the Hebrew. There's one, which is the word baruch. You may have heard, how many people have ever heard baruch haba b'shem Adonai? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a word for bless, but this word is not blessing somebody. This word is a state of being happy. It comes, but it's so deep. It's so much deeper than that. It's the picture of a cord that's stretched tight, and it's literally straight. Okay? Do you remember when Jesus said that straight is the gate that leads to life? Some translations have narrow or difficult or compressed is the way. That's literally what it means. It's the picture of like when you pull a cord tight, it's really straight, okay? But it's it's also compressed. And this is where we get the word happy from. Why is that? Well, a man who lives his life straight, upright, on the correct path is going to be happy. And that's what this word, blessed, is. I'll guarantee you, when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they. Blessed are the merciful. It's almost a play on the beginning of the book of Psalms. Because so much of what he did is what he took, the original intention of what David wrote, and he gave the fullness of it. Okay? So, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And let's go to the next word. The next word is walk. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. And literally it means, it's a two-letter word. And every Hebrew letter has kind of a meaning behind it. And a lot of times when you take the letters and you put them together, you kind of look at the meaning and you can understand what the word is. Well, the word halach is, the symbolism of it is a hand and a staff. So, what do? When you take your staff in your hand, you're walking, okay? Or maybe from this word we get the root for melech. How many ever heard of melech? King of kings, melech, hamelech, hamelechim. And you actually know the word melech. How many have ever heard the name Melchizedek? Okay, that's in the Bible. Well, the word tzedek, which we're going to talk about later, means righteousness. Melech, tzedek. Melchizedek. See, y'all know Hebrew and you don't even know it. Okay? Or melech tzedek would be the way it is. But this is a picture of, and it's not just the physical act of walking. Okay? It is your manner of life. It is your... It literally encompasses everything from the time you were born till the time you die. It is a picture of your manner. It's a picture of your custom. It's a picture of what you do. The Jews have a term that they call halakha, which is your walk. That's kind of what they are. And it's interesting that, you know, you've got the focus on the walk, but you also have to focus on the way, where you're walking. Okay, so this is happy is the man who does not make it a manner or a custom to take counsel from the ungodly. Now I want to look at this word for counsel. You know, I don't want to get off a walk yet, actually. The word walk in the Bible is used over 1,300 times. In the New Testament, in the New Testament, it's used almost 140 times. Do we think it's important? Okay? Because a lot of times, I teach a lot out of the Old Testament, because I like Hebrew. But we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the New Covenant. So it's important to understand that what's carried over still belongs in the New Testament. Okay? In the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Romans 8:1 says, there is For now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Turn to the book of John. I'm sorry, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. This is about where we are supposed to walk as Christians. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, is this talking about don't walk around in the dark? You know, make sure you turn on the light before you walk through the room? No, this is talking about your manner, your custom, that we are to walk in love, that we are to walk in the light. This is an important concept. And when you think about the word walk, I want you to think about the word when you take that staff in your hand, you're going to do something. Okay? We should be about something. We should not be idle. We should be actively doing what it is that God, using the authority that God has given us, because that is the staff, and doing what God told us to do. Let's talk about counsel. The root of this word is the word etz. So, for counsel, the full word is ba'etz ot, I'm pretty sure. And it's very interesting in the psalm. There's trees all over the psalm. You can call this the tree psalm. And because the word counsel is derived from the word tree. And what it means is it's the uprightness of a person. Okay? When somebody's an elder at a city gate and they're upright and they're firm, they give advice. Okay, and that's firm advice. Okay, and we can study their life. But this is talking in a negative sense, because this is the counsel of the wicked. This is the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? So, I mean, literally we have a picture here of somebody's going to go to somebody and they're going to look at their life. You know, because we're talking about a walk here. And they're going to study their life. Because not all counsel you get from somebody is just spoken counsel. Because there's people you learn things from that you just watch. You look at them. Now, and I mean, this is, over the years, this is how society learns. I mean, you can go to school. How many people remember anything they learned in 10th grade? How many people remember what classes they took? Michelle does. Okay. But, okay, the schooling is information. But the way you decide your value system, how to live your life, is you look at people and you study them. Now, are we a culture that looks at people? Are we a culture that studies people? Are we a culture that studies the ungodly? Are we a culture that studies the wicked? I think we are. The TV remote. Okay? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Would you say you're getting counsel from somebody when you sit down every single week for hours on end and you look at them and you study them? And maybe, you know, you want to dress like them, you want to be like them. You think, well, what would I do if I were in that situation? Or, you know, you derive a value system from them. Let me tell you something. Television in and of itself is not evil. Okay? I'm not saying TV is evil. I'm not saying everything on TV is evil. But most of it is. If we really sit down and think about it, most of what comes on the TV does not bring you closer to God. And when you sit down and when you look at that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't watch TV. About a year ago, I heard a sermon by Jonathan Kahn called The Flickering Blue God. And it changed my life. I just stopped. And the thing that got me is because TV is a powerful media. It is probably the most powerful mode of communication we had. And he made this statement, and he said, if you were betrothed to somebody, if you were engaged to somebody, and somebody came into your house and got up and in a very powerful presentation started talking about how silly your fiancé was, how stupid they were, how they didn't matter, you know, I'm not you, but I wouldn't let anybody. Somebody came in and started talking about how silly and stupid my wife was, they'd be, you know, we have a saying in our house that, you know, it's better to, you shouldn't have aught in your heart, but it's better to have aught in your heart than double aught in your heart. And for those of you who don't shoot, that's frilling double aught buckshot. We're shooters. Okay? I won't let somebody into my house to give me a presentation against my God. Okay? And later on in this verse, it says, it talks about sitting in the seat of mockers. And literally, those are people with scornful lips. And let me tell you what an extremely deceiving thing that the devil does. One of the most powerful emotions we have is laughter. Because why? Why is laughter such a powerful emotion? Let your guard down. How many people have ever, you know, somebody got something by you because you were laughing? Okay? When you look at something and you know, whether it's an off-color joke, whether it's a scene on TV that, you know, maybe glorifies something that God says and is an abomination, when you laugh at it, you literally sit down in the seat with the mockers and the scornful, and God's on the other side. That's who you're mocking at when you do that. So I wanna challenge you. I challenge you to go to your computer or handwrite something out and tape it on the top of your TV and say, is this show the counsel of the ungodly? If I watch this, am I sitting in the seat of mockers? It'll change. You'll be amazed how much free time you have. You know? I've gotten more done since I stopped watching TV. How many people here would like to read your Bible more? Okay? How many people here would like to pray more? How many people here would like to get more done in the garden or whatever? You'd be amazed how much free time. And I'm just going to give you a couple more statistics. And this sermon is not about how TV is totally evil, but you should probably have some hedges around it. And it should not give you counsel from the wicked. The average American watches between 2 and 4 hours of TV every single day. That comes to about 20 hours a week. So, yeah, part-time job with that. You know, think about what you could get done with an extra 20 hours a week. By the time a child is 12 years old, if they watch TV, they will have witnessed 8,000 murders and 100,000 acts of violence. By the time they're 18, that doubles. Has anybody here ever actually seen somebody killed? It is a horrific thing. It should make every ounce of you on the inside be an absolute whore. But I would say, in our generation, it doesn't affect people as much. And that loses something about life that is sacred. Life comes from one place. The name of our God, Yahweh, literally means in the Hebrew, the ever-living God, the ever-breathing God. The life that we have in us comes from God, both in our physical, natural body, and if you're born again, in your spiritual body. And that is something that should be precious to us. Now, I'm not talking about war or self-defense. You know, there's times in the Bible where, you know, we're required to defend ourselves. God sent people to war. What I'm talking about is the trivialization of death. So there's something you can do. That is one concrete, solid thing. I'll tell you, just do it for a month. For 30 days, make yourself a sign, put it on the TV, and says, "Is this the counsel of the ungodly?" And just, you'll be amazed how much free time. You'll be amazed how big that little sign gets. Amen? Amen. Who are we supposed to get counsel from? Job 12:13. Says, with him, the Lord, is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Proverbs 8:14, this is wisdom, Jesus speaking. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, and I have strength. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. That's who we get counsel from. Who are the wicked? That's the next thing. I mean, do we think we know what wicked means? The word wicked in the Hebrew is the word rasha. And it literally means someone who has departed from the correct path or way. Means you were on the path, you departed from the path. The most vehement ungodly sinners often are people that got raised in church and got offended. They departed from the path. Okay? We're going to probably talk about the path a little bit more if time permits. But these are the wicked. The righteous, okay? One of the things that I love about Hebrew is it's a very concrete language. You know, English is full of abstract. You know, what's faith? What's righteousness? You know, what is righteousness? I mean, it's kind of this abstract thing. Well, in the Hebrew, that's a word, like we said before, tzedek. And it literally means to be on the path. Now, isn't that easy? You're on the path. Okay? And it's not, you know, well, if I step off the path, that's it. There's a cliff. I'm lost forever. No. What do? Get back on the path. You know, you keep your eyes on the Word. Because what is the Word? It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's how you remain righteous. Now, our right standing with God comes from the fact that our sins are forgiven. Okay? But we are supposed to walk in the path. The word path, it says, the next verse it says, who does not stand in the way of sinners. Okay, now this is a totally different class of people. Okay, you've got the wicked, rasha, and then you've got sinners. Okay, a sinner, this is the word hotim. And it literally comes from the word to measure. The root of the word is to measure. And it's a picture of, they took a cord and they put knots in it to measure. Okay? And when they were measuring something, if it didn't measure up, if it was off, it was sin. In archery, the word sin in our English language is literally derived from the term in England, when they would shoot an arrow at a target, there was a guy in a pit below, and if the arrow didn't hit the target, he'd yell out, sin. That's what sinners are. So these are not people that have departed from the path. These are people that they're just missing it. Okay? Now, no show of hands, okay, but how many people here know somebody that's just missing it? Okay? You know, there's this guy I know that occasionally just really misses it. And, you know, I've told him to get out of my life, but he shows up every day in the mirror. You know? And, but I told him, I'm going to put a hit out on him. I am. I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill that. I don't think I can say what I want to say. And that's scriptural, too. The Bible says, crucify your flesh. So I've informed him, your day's coming. Amen? So, but these are sinners. So we don't stand in the way of sinners. Now, that's kind of a funny way to say it. You know, we think of somebody, if you're going to stand in the way of somebody, you're going to try to stop them. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about kind of hanging around people that just aren't doing right. You know, maybe they're kind of more fun to be with because, you know, they don't judge you. Okay? We talked about that a little bit earlier. You know, it says, you know, if you hear somebody and their favorite scripture is, you know, don't judge me, you know, or judge not and you won't be judged, you know, that's a way of saying, well, you know, I don't come down on anybody, so God lets me get away with anything I want. Well, we have a saying here. You don't get to rewrite the laws of the universe. God is a righteous God, and He's a holy God. And He loves us, okay? He's not up there with a hammer, okay? And He understands we miss it. And, you know, He understands as you're growing. You know, it's like, When you teach Isaac how to clean up his room, and for people who are listening on tape, Isaac is, how old is Isaac? Okay, he's 5, okay? And when he was even younger, say when he was 2 or 3, you know, when you told him to clean up his room, if he goes in and picks up half the toys, You don't go, oh, that's it. You know, I'm going to flog you because, you know, you're like, yeah, have your toys. That's awesome. You know? But as he gets older, half your toys, you know, as he gets 5 and 6 and 7, half your toys isn't, you know, there's a little higher standard there. And God said, God is that way with us. God understands that we're human. Okay? God is not up there just waiting to pulverize you if you do wrong. But what he wants is he wants your heart to be turned towards him. Okay? I'm going to try to go really fast. I have 5 minutes. Another thing that we've decided to do at this church is we're going to be very respectful of your time. And church will most always end right about 8:30. And because I hate being held hostage by somebody that thinks they're really spiritual. Can I say that? See, I've never been a pastor, so I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. So we talked about sinners. We talked about, but the way. This is the derech. This is literally the road that you're on. Okay, the way is a very important theme in the New Testament. Okay, the believers in Acts 19:23. Just write it down if you don't have time to turn there. And it says, at that time there arose no small stir about the way. And later on in Acts 24, Paul's talking to people and he says, but I confess this unto you. After the way that the Jews call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Like we talked about earlier, in Matthew, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Okay? There's two ways. We got to be on the right way. And in 2 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's a whole sermon in itself. But that's talking about the way. I want to get through just to the end of verse 3 here. Because I don't want to leave you hanging here. Verse 3. But he is like a tree planted by streams of living water. No, I'm sorry. We got to go back to verse 2. But the Torah, God's pointing out the way, God's teachings, is his delight. And in it he meditates day and night. Let's talk about the word meditate. The word meditate is the word hug. And it's a musing, it's a pondering, it's a muttering, it's kind of actually a musical term. Has anybody here ever gotten a song stuck in your head? You know, it's slinky, fun, you know? Okay, and I mean, that thing will just run around in your head all day. Yeah, isn't it depressing that you have brain cells devoted to the slinky song? You know? But that song runs around in your head and running around, you know, you'd be going through this slinky, slinky, walks downstairs, you know. And that's what it means. It means to have it go around and around and around and around in your head. But it's not just walking around saying it. Okay? Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 8. This book of the law, which is Torah, which is God's teachings, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall they make their way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. You know, in the charismatic world, we're big on the word. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's good. Okay? And that builds up an affirmation. But that's not what he was talking about in the book of Joshua. It means to sit and think about something and go, okay, what does this mean? How can I do it? You know, you guys can be thinking. You can be meditating on Psalm 1 tomorrow. You can be thinking, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, Lord, how can I not walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Let me figure this out. You know, we're big on figuring things out. You know, you women have to figure out what you need to wear. You know, you have to figure out, you know, what this person could possibly be thinking. You know, you have to, you know what I mean? We're big at figuring things out. This is what we need to figure out. We need to figure out how I can do the word, how I can observe to do all that is according therein. So when I take my counsel from God, and that's the thing about counsel, it's like advice. If you go to somebody, it never surprises me, the people that come to us for counsel, and, you know, Americans have this idea that counseling is, I'm going to tell you all my problems, and then I'm going to come back next week and tell you all my problems again. Because that's what it's turned counseling into. No, counseling is, you come to somebody with a problem, they give you advice, and then you do it. I can't tell you how many people come to this ministry that we minister to, they tell us their problem, and according to the Word of God, we give them advice, and they don't want to hear it. What? I have to stop sinning? I have to crucify my flesh? And they don't listen to us. So, we don't give a... Here's a hint. If you want advice from us, if you don't do the first thing we told you to do, we're not going to give you any more advice because we figured you won't do that either. Amen? So, that was for free. That wasn't even in my sermon. But the last point, this is the last point. It says, and he will be like a tree planted by streams of living water. How many people here want to be a tree? You know, I'm a tree. What, wasn't there some? But here's no more songs. Here's the thing about trees. You can't move them. They're very hard to move. You find a tree with a good root system. And next time you go to the park, find you a tree, or out in your yard, you know, a good sized tree, and I want you to go and I just want you to grab it and try to move it. You know, now people might look at you a little weird. You know, they might think you're one of them tree huggers. But, you know, just if they ask, just tell them you just watched, you know, the latest Al Gore movie and you're just thanking the tree for being a tree. You know, but it is, you can't move a tree that's got its roots down. And that's how we're supposed to be. You notice how it went from don't take the counsel what the wicked thinks is upright. You can become upright on your own. And you can bear fruit. And your wheat leaf will not wither. Because later on in the psalm it says, the wicked are like the chaff, they're blown away. But the righteous shall not be moved. Amen? So I just want to close in prayer. And just... With everybody's head bowed and your eyes closed, if you want to just recognize before God that maybe there's some things that you need to change in your life. You know, this is not saying you're a horrible person, but this is saying I want to be more in the way. I want to be righteous. Just pray this after me. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands because probably everybody, hopefully, would lift their hand. My hand would certainly be up. But just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I declare out of my mouth that I want to walk in your way. I want to walk in your light. I repent over walking in the counsel of the wicked. I don't want to do that anymore. So I set in my heart that I will look to you for counsel and not the world. That I will look to your word for direction and not my flesh and not sinners and not people that are missing it. Help me by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The last thing I would like to do, the Lord's instructed this, I'm sorry for keeping you a couple minutes late, is the Lord's instructed us to speak a blessing over everyone, every single time, before they leave, because God knows we've had curses spoken over our lives, our whole lives. And, you know, as you go through ministry, you know, so many times we break curses, but it's very scriptural to speak blessings over that. You know, you got to replace the curse with a blessing. And this is something God commanded Aaron to do. And he said, in this way shall you place my name, my way of doing things, my who I am on the people. So I'm just going to speak a blessing over you and pray for you, and this is how we're going to end every service from now until Jesus comes back. And then after that, if you desire personal prayer, if you'd like to come up and receive ministry, if there's something you're dealing with that you'd like us to pray with you about, you know, one thing, this is not, you know, a 4-hour session, this is one thing that you want us to pray with, then Donna and I will be up here. And if you don't need that, you know, just kind of respectfully, if people are being prayed for, you know, you can hang around a little bit if you want to, but or if you need to go, just, you know, do so quietly. Hallelujah. We honor and glorify and magnify your name. Baruch atah Yahweh. The Yishmerecha. Yaor Yahweh. Panav Elecha Vayahunecha Yisa Yahweh. Panav Elecha Vashemlecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you, reach down and present you with gifts and love and favor. May He watch over you and keep you and protect you and preserve you. May His glory shine down upon you. May He turn His face towards you and give you grace and beauty and favor. Glory to your name. And may He give you perfect restoration and peace and shalom, redemption, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you desire prayer, we'll be up here. Otherwise, we earnestly hope to see you next week. Buddy, thank you. Bye-bye.